You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and we're talking moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. Marco Bill with you again. We just, sorry we started the show a little late tonight. We had a major catastrophe in one of our streaming computer, and I had to restart it. But we're back up again and ready to go. Got a lot of guests tonight. What I'd like to do is thank everybody out there for your emails and for your comments on the guest book. And and also for all the calls on the hotline. My goodness. There's a few calls that I couldn't contact people back about. I'm going to do that later on this week here. I will contact you, though. I was gone most of the day today. Had to do a lot of testing in the doctor's office, so I was not able to answer the calls. But I'll get back to you. Don't worry, okay? Well, we're going to start the night out here with our good friend Christian, and he's going to let us know what's going on in his area. Here, Christian, how are you tonight?
Good.
Well, Christian, you've had some things that are going on. Why don't you tell us about what's happening over there? Now, you're in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was went every four, since 4 days in a row, 4 o'clock, every 4 o'clock in the morning, I heard, like, loud stomping on the ground.
Like a heavy stomping kind of thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you hear anything else? Was there any kind of, like, a growl or any kind of noise?
Like I heard, like, a little whistle.
A whistle? Oh, okay, yeah. Now, I'll refresh everybody's mind. Christian, you had a lot of your encounters here between, there's a kind of a wooded area and an open field type of thing in between your house and your grandmother's house, right?
Yeah.
And you had your encounter in that area. And since then, your dad and you have heard a lot of things going on there, right?
Yeah.
I think last week you said you heard like a monkey noise. Hmm?
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's things going on all the time around you there, and this whistle.
Yeah.
And that stomping noise, I've heard that before. It shakes the ground, doesn't it?
And tomorrow, because it's muddy outside.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, if we don't have school, because we're supposed to get a snowstorm tonight, I'm going to look out around outside and see if there's any footprints.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. Now, have you taken a look outside yourself for anything else since then?
No, I was outside a little bit last night making noise and seeing if anything will make noises back.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing made noises. It was just all I heard. I didn't hear nothing.
Okay. Now, have you tried to put out some kind of any kind of food or anything in an area where you could just kind of hang it out there for them?
No.
No? What I was thinking,
of, like, put one of those cameras, like, in leaves so they can't see it, and, like, put food on, see if anything gets it, seeing if I can catch anything on getting it.
Yeah, with a camera, yeah. You could do that, too. Well, one of the things you could do in your area there is during the day, you know, go out and put... like you've heard Rocky and Swede, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what they'll do is they'll take a little like a burlap bag or something or cloth, and they mash up some sweet potatoes a little bit. You know, cook the sweet potatoes and mash them up, so they make a good smell. And he puts in some, I think, blackstrap molasses and some other stuff. We can ask him later on in the show, okay, when we come to our open period. And maybe you could put that out, and they'll tell you how to hang that up in a tree where, you know, the other kind of animals won't get it. But you could hang it there, and they could, what will happen is it might draw them there. And what you can do is prepare the area around the tree so that you can get some footprints. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You can scrape, you know, and now the ground is frozen right now, right?
Yeah.
Is it muddy or frozen?
It's like, it's between muddy and frozen.
Yeah, but it's still got semi-frozen ground around, right?
Yeah.
Because everything is melting, starting to melt, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can prepare that area under the where that thing where you know where that bait we call it a bait trap, and you could set it up and smooth out. Put some. One of the things people do is they'll put sand in on the ground, right?
Yeah.
And or you could put mud. You know, I mean, you know, good mud, and prepare it up there. And so that when they step in it, they'll leave a footprint when they try to get the trap, right? The bait.
Yeah.
And then that would be a good way enough. You know, people have used like flour, where where it's on a hard surface like a porch or something, and they just spread flour out around, because we had some couple of people where the creatures were coming down and they were getting into their garbage cans at night, and the garbage can was sitting on the porch, and the dogs would hide under the house, and the creature, something was coming up and grabbing it out of their garbage can, taking the food out of it. And what they did is they took... Go ahead.
It happened at my grandma's. My grandma's garbage can was on the porch, and the next morning it was halfway up in the field.
Yeah. And what you can do is, like on that, where it's on the porch, you can take like a little bit of flour at night. And, you know, it makes a dust, right?
Yeah.
As long as the wind's not blowing real hard or nothing, right? But you can, you know, make a little dust pattern in there. And anything that walks on that will leave their track, and you can see that. And then you can take pictures of that. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, gosh, you've pretty much, you got these creatures, the creature that you got there is coming around pretty often, huh?
Yeah.
Seems like he's staying around the area there. He must have food, and he must have water, and probably a place. Huh?
There's a lot of deer around where I'm at.
Yeah. Yep. They'll eat a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You got to look at it like, they'll eat, just like those bears in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Have you heard about those or seen them?
No.
On movies and things? They'll dig into cars, and they'll dig into anything to get free food.
Yeah.
And they're wild. I mean, those things are wild. People think they're tame, but they're not. They're real wild. And they're pretty big,
too. My brother's friend's dad, who owns tigers, lions.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they're smart, but they don't know they can jump over the fence, and the fence is 32 feet tall.
Wow.
They can jump high.
Yeah, they can jump pretty high already. That's pretty big. Well, these creatures are pretty big, too, and they can, if they wanted to, they could do a lot of damage. I'm sure they could.
Yeah.
Well, heck, let's, I tell you what we're going to do. How about, I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
You're welcome.
And you're going to stay on until we go to our open period, right?
Yeah.
Good. And we can ask some questions of some of the people there about bait traps and other things that you can do to maybe get some pictures of tracks or something.
Okay.
Well, thank you for coming on, Christian.
You're welcome.
I want to put you on mute right now, and then we'll see you a little later on in the program, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Christian from Pennsylvania. And he's one of our youngest researchers out there, but quite by circumstance, he got involved in this a couple of months ago. And he's been with us ever since, and he's having a lot of activity in his area down there. Well, let's go to commercial, and we'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. featuring original never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a complete videographed history of what took place in 2008 on the hoax. We're going to go out here and we're going to check with Austin and Mitchell. Now, Austin and Mitchell were on the show some time ago. They're from Maryland. And they was with us, and they had some encounters out there while they were hunting. Mitchell, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is Austin there?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Oh, well, you both there. Well, welcome. Yeah. Why don't you tell us what's going on? You've had some pretty interesting stuff going on, huh?
Yeah, we just got a big snowstorm, and we built a snowman, right?
Yeah.
And it got knocked over. Right, giant furry monster. Yes, it did. We seen like a shadow part of it, and see, it just came through, running through the woods, and I mean, literally tackled the thing almost.
Really? It probably thought it was something dangerous or something, huh?
Yeah. We even put a hat and a scarf on it, and I mean, literally, this thing tackled Marco. I'm not even lying to you.
Wow.
Yeah,
so now, what time of day was this?
This is probably evening, like, it was just starting to get dark. We could just see the shadow of it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the weather like? Was it snowing out, or was it just, it already snowed, and it was just a lot of loose snow on the ground?
A lot of loose snow on the ground. It was kind of snowing, but it wasn't like, you know, snowing too hard. Yeah, just flurry.
Yeah. Did you find any prints there?
Yeah, we actually got a couple pictures. Yeah, we can actually send them to you.
Oh, super.
You can put them on your website.
Great.
And not only that, we also we set a trail camera up, right?
Yeah.
And to try to get pictures, and the next day we couldn't find a trail cam. And about 50 yards down the, about 50 yards down the creek, we found it broken.
Oh my gosh! What, it smashed it?
Yeah.
It looks like it smashed it on the rocks and stuff.
Yeah, you know, we had an incident take place where they had the trail cam up in the tree, and one of these creatures climbed up in the tree and peed in it, and broke the front. You know, there's a front, kind of a mantelpiece or a glass piece, broke it and peed in it, and then they had the, they had the pee analyzed. It was pee. But these creatures seem to be able to detect these cameras, and they don't. That's why it was so hard to get a picture of these dang things sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they must know that like those cameras are looking for them.
No, yeah. Well, they can. I think we think that the infrared range that they have a. Their eyes are able to see through a certain low range infrared.
So like a sixth sense.
Say again.
Like a sixth sense, you're saying?
Well, it's not a sixth sense. It's actually a visual. You know, just like one of those. One of the eyepieces we use with infrared.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you can see it. You know, it's a scope kind of thing. They got the night vision, and then they got the infrared kind that you can, it's heat. And we think that they can see that. They have a range of that on the low end of the infrared. And because they seem to pick it up all the time. I mean, we've got pictures of fingers and hands and arms. At one time, even a face, but not the whole body. And usually what it is, it's the creatures trying to disable the camera.
Yeah,
just trying to rip it down from the tree or, you know, smart things, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a different approach. We're going to get two cameras this time and set one up just as a decoy and then have another one somewhere else.
Well, there you go. That's exactly what a couple other people had done. Now, you know the other do you know the other two guys there in your area?
Who's that, Austin and Brandon?
Yeah, Austin and Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon's actually my cousin, and Austin's one of my buddies at school.
Well, you know, did you take a look at their picture?
Oh, yeah. What did they send you a picture of?
They had a picture of a creature.
Really?
Yeah, with a game cam.
No way. That's nuts.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty neat. It's really neat.
Yeah, hopefully we can get a picture.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. What you might want to do is ask them how they set it up.
I think they used two, and then I think they might have baited it in. I'm not sure. I know they used two cameras, though.
No, yeah. Other people have done that and were successful, especially in the video type, you know, trying to do videos and things.
Yeah.
But the doggone thing is on the video, if it's a camera that makes noise, it's not too good. But if it's just a, you know, like a digital camera where there's really no, there's no moving parts or anything like that, you know what I'm talking about? The tape ones are hard.
Well, this is awesome now, but I got to tell you something. I mean, Brandon's mailbox got knocked off, I heard of. I'm telling you, I think it might have been that creature.
It very well could have been.
Because, I mean, I don't know if it's kids going around smashing mailboxes or stealing them or whatnot. But
right.
On my road, there's been a couple mailbox being hit. Like, I don't know if he gets mad and he just, like, rips them out of the ground and throws them or something like that.
Sure.
And, I mean,
well, could be.
The squatches, do they climb trees?
Oh, well, yes, they can, and they do.
They can? Because I was about to say, we could put a trail cam up top of a tree and pull one down below, and all you'd see is that one. You could smash that one, and then the other one would up top would get them. But I don't know if you can climb trees, you know.
Well, they don't climb trees, but the problem is do they see it? And then, you know, can they see it? And can they see the infrared sensors? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because most of them are set off by a sensor, right?
Yeah, most of them are.
Yeah, and then the other thing is how much of a delay the sensor has to activate the camera.
Well, ours is
about a second. If it's a second or less, it's good. But some of them have kind of like a, you know, 1.5, 2 second or whatever delay, and that kind of can screw things up.
Yeah.
Look, I tell you what. Excuse me. I got this craw in my throat here. Why don't you guys go through and just tell us. A lot of people are new here and probably haven't heard your story before. Why don't you just give us a little rundown of your encounter experience?
All right, well, one day, me, Mitchell, and Steven, we were up there on at Steven's house, went through the woods, thought we heard a deer. We thought it was a black bear. Next thing you know, we see the squatch just running through, and we actually seen it with our own two eyes. I mean, it was pretty intense, so we booked it out of there. And seeing he was going to shoot it, but the thing started making a weird noise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't really do the noise that good.
No, I understand. It was kind of between a bellow and a scream or whatever. Right?
Yeah. It was
a
like
howl.
A grunt and a scream kind of thing. Yeah, it was kind of like a howl. But and it started like, it stopped, and it was like 50 yards from us, and we made eye contact with it. Next thing you know, we just booked it out of there. And that night we started hearing the same noise over and over again. And it was pretty freaky. And then we called you up, and there it was, you know.
Yeah, and then guess what? The following week, Austin and Brandon gave me a call, and I thought it was you guys, because when he said his name was Austin, I thought it was you.
Yeah.
And he said, we got a game cam pick and some other stuff. And, of course, they were doing kind of the same thing. I think they were out deer hunting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then we got that, and I said, well, I wonder how far you guys are from each other. And actually, you're right in the same area. So, in this, you know, the same areas where you're both. Yeah. So,
I don't know if they walked that trail or not.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, hard to believe.
No. Well, did you listen when I was telling Christian?
What were you telling him?
Well, basically setting up a bait. Bait an area and bait the area so that set it up so that you can collect footprints and other stuff. See, and now when we get towards the end of the show here, what I'm going to do is after Rocky and Swede get done telling us about their experience, we're going to go into this the general open house thing for everybody to ask questions. And what I like to do is I'm going to have you. I want to have Rocky and Swede maybe tell you guys how to maybe set some things up to where you could set it up. And
I did some research on it, and something about jelly. You said like on a stump, and actually he'll open it up, open the jar up, and actually eat the jelly or something like that.
Peanut butter,
yeah,
sardines,
peanut butter and jelly.
Anything that smells has a good smell to it.
Yeah,
that can be smelled. I don't know what it is about peanut butter, but that worked for us. But the sardines, you know, sardines, as you know, the kind of fishy smell, it carries quite a long ways, right? The oil and all that stuff, right? But they also, but what Rocky and Swede use a sweet potato mashed and some other stuff with it.
Well, I mean, for Thanksgiving, I usually put marshmallows every top of them. You think that'll work?
Like no, but I tell you, one of the other things that they use, you know where you take apple cider or apple juice?
Yeah.
It has kind of a smell to it as well. And what they did is they'd freeze it in that smaller bottle, right?
Yeah.
And they put a hole in it and just hang it and let it drip.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're going to see that there's a way that you have to hang these things up so that because there's all kinds of other animals that are going to smell this, and they're going to try to get it. Raccoons, squirrels. Mm-hmm. I mean, and as you know, some of these creatures are, I mean, squirrels, for God's sake, I don't know.
My house anymore. I shot them all down. But, I mean, usually, I mean, we're going to do more research with it and stuff and see how it goes. I really want to get a picture of them, you know.
Yeah. Well, using something like that is, I mean, you got to take a look at Rocky and Swede there. You know, they do what they call cold camp, right? There's no fire.
Yeah.
And they slept right there in the area. And this creature, I mean, they're pretty good. And this creature snuck right in there. You know, it was right next to the tree right where he was at. And they had a little kind of a cooler with some little, you know, those little cuties oranges?
Yeah.
The little tiny oranges, the sweet ones. And they had them inside there, and it had paracord and stuff wrapped. It was really tight in the tree. And the creature, while they were sleeping, right next to it, snapped that box and got all his cuties and took off without them even, without making a noise early.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know, that's what I'm saying. These creatures are pretty smart and they're pretty stealthy.
Yeah, now when we found the footprint, we walked down and like followed them, and then they started dragging. It was like he started dragging his feet to cover up the prints or something like that.
Yeah, well they could do that. What was the space between the stride?
Well, all right. Well, the palm of the foot was probably like, I mean, like, the actual foot is probably 12 inches long, and the spread on the toes were maybe, like, maybe 2-3 inches apart.
Okay, but what I'm talking about by stride, I'm talking about footprint to footprint.
Oh,
humans got like about 20, you know, if you get 26 inches or 20-some inches, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was probably about a yard or so, yeah.
But these things, sometimes we've had, like, 57 inches.
They get pretty big.
Yeah.
Now, if you shoot one of these, it's counted as manslaughter, isn't it?
In every state but Texas.
Every state but Texas.
Yeah. Texas, this past year, Texas rescinded the law on it. but every other state, and I don't know why, because it doesn't exist as a species, but they do have a law in effect in every state that covers that. I don't know why, but they do.
Who makes this law? The government?
Yeah.
Or the state government or the federal government?
I think both.
Both?
Yeah, because they have a lot of Federal Reserves.
Wow.
The laws have to protect the Federal Reserves as well.
So now, does Obama, like, make all them laws himself, or is that the Congress?
No, well, they have, you know, Department of Natural Resources has laws that affect hunting and fishing and all those kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are that would be the area that they would come under.
Wow.
Now, do you know why it's considered manslaughter if you shoot one? Or?
Yeah, do you know why?
No, I don't know. I mean, that's just what they've... That's why they've done that. That's why we tell everybody if something like that happens, do not go calling the authorities right away on that.
What they really should do is
give us a call. We'll lead you to the right way. We'll tell you what to do, and we'll tell you how to, you know, everything.
Yeah. I mean, now, the thing is, they should let us shoot one so you guys, like, people like you can actually research the body and stuff to see, like, what it is and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know what? Well, the thing is what if this thing is human? Like, what do you do? I mean, we've got DNA. There's five different kinds of things that are species. And if it's a human, like, we have one DNA that says it's an ancient human, 15,000 years or more.
So they've been around for 15,000 years or more.
Well, it means it's an old, what they call angelic human. It's one like, you know, like the Cro-Magnon and way back in those days, Ice Age type. Ice Age type, 10,000 years, 15,000 years.
That's pretty old.
You know how long they live on average, or...
Don't know. Think we don't know enough about them.
That's pretty crazy.
They're so hard to find. That's the problem.
I don't know. They're pretty. I get a lot of calls. I mean, if you can imagine how many calls I get a week, and then I mean, how many calls don't I get? Those are just people who look it up and take the time to call. How many people have these encounters that don't do anything? They just because they're afraid. I mean, they don't want to. You know, you say you've seen a Bigfoot, everybody's going to laugh their butt off at you, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's pretty much what they do. How many calls do you usually get a week?
Oh, God. Well, let's see. I got four yesterday alone. How's that? Four in one day.
Calls.
Yeah. Different areas.
Yeah, so that's averaging what, 16 a week?
Well, you can. I mean, I've had it varies. This weather is what's caused a lot of the disruption. The weather getting cold all of a sudden and warm all of a sudden has changed, and a lot of them that normally didn't migrate stayed in the area, and then it got really cold in areas that it never gets cold in, so you know they came down to get food or water or stuff where it's not frozen up.
Where do most of your encounters come from?
All over.
Really?
All over the place. My God. I mean, the only state I haven't got an encounter report from is Hawaii.
Huh.
But Canada. Is it Rhode Island? Newfoundland? New Hampshire?
What about Puerto Rico?
New York? Pennsylvania?
That would be really weird, you know, having one in New York. I mean, all that big city and stuff. I mean, if I seen a Sasquatch walking down there, I'd probably freak out.
Well, no, it's not. It's not in the city. New York is actually. Everybody thinks of New York as a New York City, but New York really has a lot of farmland, and you know, upstate New York is really a lot of wooded areas and stuff like that. The Appalachian Mountains and stuff like that, a whole bunch.
Now, I bet you get a lot of calls from Maine and stuff up there in the North Woods.
Well, I've had a couple calls from Maine. I've had a lot of calls from Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Montana. Arizona.
I'm actually this year to fish, so, I mean, if I see some up there, I might give you a call again.
Utah, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma City, yeah.
I had one last, another one, so Tennessee, two of them in the last week.
I mean, that's around, you know, our place, you know. I mean, especially Pennsylvania, that's only right up there a little bit.
Yeah, well, we've had, what, in the last 2 weeks, four different reports from Pennsylvania.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, so there's quite a few. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go on. I'm running kind of really late because I kind of overdone our thing here. But we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to come back, and we're going to open it up here at the end of the show. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people have some questions for you. And you may have some questions as well. Okay?
All right.
Thanks for coming on, guys. It was nice to talk to you again.
All right.
We'll see you at the end of the show.
All righty.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Austin and Mitchell from Maryland. And next we're going to go out here to New York to our buddy Richard. Richard, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing good.
It's kind of slow here. We got about 2 feet of snow on the ground.
I know.
But, you know, I was thinking something today. There's a guy up in Vermont, and he's got kind of a national, he's nationally known in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a book, and he said that he does habituations. You know who it is. I'm not going to mention his name.
Right.
And he said that there's one right outside Albany in his book that they studied. Which hits home with me. And another thing, my first footprint I ever saw was in our town park. And it was in about 3 inches of water, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 18 or 19 inches, and it was perfect with the toes and everything.
Sure.
And it had to be very fresh. Now, if you saw this stream where the footprint was,
yeah,
and you didn't look behind you and see the, you would think it makes Bluff Creek look like New York City. You couldn't think of a more squatchy place. Believe me, it's about, I'd say the stream is about 40 yards wide, 50
mm-hmm.
yards wide, and there's downed trees in it, just downed trees on the bank. It's just the most squatchy. And as you go up the other side of it,
yeah,
it's just almost a vertical hill with trees. They talk about squatchy places, and I think it was there. It had to be fresh because it was in the water. And I think it was there watching the kids play baseball, be truthful with you. Does that sound crazy?
No, I'm sure they could. I mean, we had a guy in Florida that was dredging, and he'd seen 15 or 16 of them just sitting on a way the heck out there on the logs, watching them dredge, and he thought they were people until he got close enough to figure out that they weren't people.
Now, if you took a compass and swung it around and spread it out on a map and swung it out, all these sightings, there's one BFRO sighting within a mile and a half of where I saw the print.
Mm-hmm.
There was another sighting that was in our local newspaper within 2 miles of the print. And the preserve I go in would be the center of where the compass would sit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me to explain the topography of our area.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like those two young men, they said New York City, there's patches of woods all over here.
Oh, no, I know.
Here's
the thing. Here's the thing that I found out. We used to think that these things are only way back in Never Never Land where nobody ever goes and, you know, I mean, in the wild and wilderness areas, right? Which they probably do.
However, it's been our experience in the last 8 years, okay, that all of our reports that we've gotten, I mean, there's no set pattern. You know, I used to try to follow the BFRO sightings and see where you had all these different sightings and things and all that stuff. But guess what? They're all over. You don't have to. You know, you find an area, for instance, just the people we have on the show right now. The people we have on the show right now, Austin and Mitchell, Austin and the other Austin and Brandon, they're within a few miles of each other, a couple miles of each other in Maryland, okay? They go to the same high school. They've had the same, they both had encounter experiences. One took a picture of it. The others are trying to take a picture of it, but they got footprints and a bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, the things are active, and they're active all over. I mean, I haven't found a place where they're not active. I thought Arizona, a dry desert, you'd never be able to see anything. How could they exist? Blah, blah, blah. Guess what? They're all over.
You know,
I have
they
pictures.
They don't need much to hide, though. They don't
it's not hiding.
No, I mean, they're so stealthy.
Yeah, but I mean, even in the desert, how many trees are in the desert?
Right. And they own the night. And they own the night. If they're out at night, you're never going to see them.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. Even during the day, they have to hide in different places and things and keep out of the heat and stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, guess what? They do, and they know how to do it, and they can blend in. I mean, I have a couple pictures where their hair is just the same color as the rocky sand behind them.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
But I mean, they can blend into wherever they're at, and I think that's, you know, last week when we had a couple guys on. One guy was a was a government ranger, and spent 20 some years doing that, and he was good enough to go through and explain why you can't find bones and other things. And basically, you know, what you look at is they're just like humans. I mean, when we go into an area, we adapt to that area. And the same thing that they do, they adapt. And adapting means, you know, changes.
Well,
and
one thing I wonder, how come you never hear, like in the old West with the cowboys and the cattle drives and stuff? Is there any information about these people seeing creatures?
The Native Americans are full of legends of them all the time, from all the way back. Every Native American tribe that I'm aware of in the United States has a Bigfoot legendary creature, and it's either a good spirit or an evil spirit.
Well, let me tell you, Bill, when I was in second grade, as you know, we're an old, Albany is an old, you know, very old, old city.
Mm-hmm.
And we studied about, we read a book about this tribe called the Lenape that were in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells of the father, I can remember to this day, the father warning the kids about the wood devil and not to go out at night because the wood devil would take you.
Sure.
It's in every Native American culture.
Yeah, I mean it's not just in the United States.
And those people knew their
environment. There are sightings worldwide. There are legends worldwide in every culture that I can think of: Europe, Asia. I mean, everywhere.
And we, as we all know, these fairy tales of ogres and giants, there's a basis for them. You know, they were stories handed down of seeing these creatures. I'm sure of it.
Well, I'm sure. I mean,
and elves
and the fair lice is in England. It's a mountain. Lives in the mountain. And there's many. So, I mean, it's a, I mean, it's just too many. And legends are legends, okay? Let's be, legends are legends.
Well,
I mean, they get fabricated and they get, they
it's
get.
Something that's seen and then embellished upon,
Right, yeah. But still, what do you do with all the sightings that we get all the time?
I've seen these things from anywhere from 2 feet tall to probably 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'd say there's more than one species of this thing.
And there's babies.
Yeah. Well, Richard, I guess I'm running a little late, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't have.
No. You're going to be on the end of the show here. Okay,
yeah, I know, but you couldn't even walk here for about 3 days or 4 days.
Yeah, I know. Well, I understand. Hey, that's the way it is. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in this, all this weather change stuff. So the phone rings off the hook.
But March is coming.
Yes, it is.
That's when I plan on doing a lot of work.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on tonight and sharing.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you at the end of the show here.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Richard from New York. Let's go out here to Virginia and talk with our buddy Anthony.
Hey,
hello,
there.
Anthony.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Sound like you got a little bit of the flu.
I was sick early in the week. I'm just getting over it, but mm-hmm. Feeling better. But just wanted to share real quick. I know it's getting close to the top of the hour here. Happened to be in a particular area, totally new area, and we was out, burning some trash, and I just stepped inside for just a moment, and then, again, burning trash, not even 5 minutes, as soon as we come out, exact direction where the smoke was headed. I mean, we just had this incredibly strong smell of skunk coming from the wooded area. I mean, we weren't even out looking, This is like a totally new area, new experience, I hadn't heard anything from anybody in this area about seeing anything. And so, we just knew that something was nearby, and, so we just kind of like, sticking around, making sure, what is it, if there's a skunk or not. And we've heard about two, thick breaks in the woods, branches. But, unfortunately, we didn't see anything. All we did was hear,
Sure.
But that was the only noise that was made. We kind of had that feeling we were being watched the whole time.
Yeah, well, it's a common thing. Yeah.
Other than that, that was the, unplanned experience that we had. on another note, our friend Jack, Jack, and he's happened to contact me also this week and telling me that he actually contacted me more than once about some of the experiences he's been having in his area, so. There's still a lot of activity going on where he's at.
East Coast Jack, is that a lot of activity?
Yeah. He happened to walk into a new area. It was one area that he brought me to, and then he just, when I say new, he just went deeper into the woods there, and he's found quite a bit of stuff out there.
Wow.
I mean, a lot of stuff on the ground. He's just finding, found a few carcasses. He found a pile of dung that he knows it wasn't there. So, you're right with this crazy weather that's going on. They're turning up in places.
Wow,
just
pretty neat.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we're coming close here to where we're going to be seeing a lot of action this spring. So once the weather starts changing, there are going to be a lot of migration sightings.
I'm sure of that, yeah.
Well, Kick, thanks for coming on and bringing us up to date, buddy.
much, I think.
And hold on in the end here, because there's probably some people going to be asking some questions about stuff.
Alrighty.
Okay. Thanks for coming on, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
Always. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony from Virginia. And now we're going to go out here to Rocky and Swede, and let's find out what they've been up to. Rocky and Swede, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How about you, Swede?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. Can't complain a bit.
Well, guys, you've had a kind of a neat experience here. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand one thing. We have a lot of people that call me on the hotline, and a lot of encounter experiences. But the people, due to fear of being ridiculed, due to fear of being recognized, they don't want to come on, you know, the air. And that's okay. We don't want to force anybody ever to do that. But that happens a lot, and you know, all the time. So there's quite a few more people that dial me up and tell me their stories, and I record them, than what come on the show. Quite a few. But let's talk to Rocky and Swede and see what they came up with. Why don't you tell us what's going on, good guys?
Well, it was Tuesday of last week. It was Monday of last week. My barber came into my place of business and said that he had talked to a guy that the week before. There were some guys in there just, you know, talking stuff, and and Bigfoot came up because of the Finding Bigfoot show and all of that. Anyhow, my barber said that there was one guy sitting in there that they've been, barbering for ages. And said that he, when they, you know, they were all laughing about Bobo on Finding Bigfoot, and somebody said something about, you know, how could anybody take it serious? And this particular guy said that, you know, maybe if they saw one, they would take it more serious. And said that he got a little bit aggravated, but after everybody was kind of cleared out and he was there getting his hair cut, my barber just said that, you know, he kind of rekindled the Bigfoot conversation and said that, told him about me and Swede. And this guy, they said that they've been doing cutting his hair for years. And the one said that they thought that if the man ever cracked a smile or told a joke, that he would probably explode. Said he's the most serious human in the world. Well, they told him about us, and then he said something about, he said that he would like to meet us, so, and talk to us. So, they told me where he lived. I went out by there Tuesday of last week. And, anyhow, when I got out there, he kind of headed me off at the pass before I could get out to get into the house, and said that he didn't, you know, he wanted to, you know, didn't want his wife to hear it because she hates living in the country as it is. And, you know, anything that he had to say would probably get her fired up to move back to town. But he said that sometime back he got up in the morning and was going out to his tractor, going to get a round bale to take out and feed the cattle. And he said as he was walking up to the tractor, he just happened to notice it. That was before any snow hit or anything, but he said he saw something white. He looked up there, and he said it was about 200 yards away. And he said that it was a big, white, hairy creature. And he said that it just stood there like it was just, you know, taking in the day, and said it was kind of a nice day. I mean, it was cold, but it wasn't, you know, no snow, no rain, nothing like that. So he said that it stood there and just looked around for a couple of minutes, and like I say, like it was just taking in the day, and then walked back up in the woods. And anyhow, I asked him if I'd go look around and all that, and he said that he really, he didn't want his wife to see what was up, so he asked me if I could come back Sunday when his wife and the kids would be over at her mother's house. And so as soon as church was out, I headed that way, and I stopped over and picked up the Swede. And we went out, and when he met us, I told the Swede that, you know, to not to say anything that, you know, might cause him to smile, because if he did, he would, you know, just crack into little small pieces. But anyhow, when we got out there, he met us. He took us and showed us all around. Okay. Then he was telling us the story. He told us what happened the first time he saw it. And the second time he saw it, he said it was, he saw the movement while the snow was actually coming down. And he said that was all. He said he just saw the movement. He saw something white moving across and took it for granted that's what it was. But the last time he saw it was after everything was thawing out. It was all muddy and all that. So he said that he had pretty much the same scenario. He was walking out to his tractor, and he said that the tractor was just dead in line from his door. It was just dead in line with the creature that he had seen. And how he looked up in the edge of the woods, but didn't see it. And then he was fixing to get on the tractor, and he saw it standing down by the creek, down by Onion Creek. Anyhow, he said that it walked down there, it dropped down on one knee, and was just looking around, and said that it was just cupping its hand and drinking out of the creek. And he said he watched it for a few minutes, and then his wife hollered out the door, and when she hollered out the door, he started back toward the house to get her inside before she saw anything, and it kind of did a major disappearing act. Well, it was about 100 yards away when he saw it down by the creek. Well, the Swede walked off down by the creek and was looking it all over, and I was talking to him. He was telling me that he would say honestly that, you know, it would have to go about 7 feet tall. And he said that the last time he saw it, it was not white, but he said he described it. It was kind of like his dog. He had a big old white dog that was no longer white. I mean, it just kind of, it was off white and almost kind of a dirty yellow color.
Mm-hmm, like a little skunk tail.
Yeah, and anyhow, he said it was muddy from about the knees down, and said its face, he said, was about the color of an old leather rifle scabbard or something, and a dark tan. And he said that...
Well, Rocky, remember what he said about his muddy legs? He said he looked like he had a pair of woolies on, which I hadn't heard that in a long
time.
He said he looked like he had a pair of woolies on, which, if anybody don't know what woolies is, back in the day they used to make chaps that have long-haired chaps, and it looked like he had a pair of woolies on them, on that white fur, but it was his fur all muddy. But
yeah, he said that.
Description.
He said that it was when he saw it that time. He said, I asked him about eye color and all that, and he said that, you know, he couldn't tell me anything about that. He could see that the face was a dark tan color, and that it was because it contrasted with the color, the lack of color of the hair. And then he told us that if we wanted to go look around, that would be fine. And go ahead and run with it, Sage.
Yeah, we went down to the Onion Creek there, and Say Creek is more like a river. It's, you know, there's a lot of runoff from the snow and stuff while we were there, but you know, it was up enough where we couldn't cross it where he'd been seeing all this. We couldn't go across it. We didn't have waders on. It's probably waist deep there. Well, we went one way, and we went the other. I went the other, and we got to a shoal, and we crossed and got on the other side there, and we both looked around, kind of come up there together and looked around, and the cattle had been crossing. He got it. There's a field back up in there somewhere on the other side. He said there is. We didn't see it, but them cattle been coming back and forth through there, and they'd had everything stomped and mudded, but actually we got around there a little ways and kind of saw some impressions, let's put it that way. It could have been footprints. It was so melty from the meltdown and the snow meltdown, it was hard to see, but the stride was right, and there was kind of a imprint of a toe, sort of. But we went both ways and back across on the other side. We didn't really see too much except for deer tracks and coon tracks, and that's the kind of stuff that was real fresh. But it looked like a great spot to be there. That water's clear, and there's, you know, obviously there's lots of terrain to hide in and whatnot. And, you know, he did invite us to go back out there, and you know, like Rocky said, the guy was real serious, and, you know, I don't think that he even really wanted to talk about it too much, but he was, because I think he just had to tell somebody.
But okay, the Swede says that the guy was real serious. He had the demeanor of the Grim Reaper. I mean, he was just, it was like, you know, if he ever heard anything funny, or if he ever laughed, it would just kill him. I mean, he was a nice guy, don't get me wrong, but the guy was just, I mean, he was serious as lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, as a matter of fact, like the boys at the barbershop said, he didn't speak about 25 words, and we talked to him for an hour. You know, he didn't say a whole lot of words. I mean, he told us everything that he needed to get across, but he didn't elaborate much more than what just the facts. And he was very factual about it. I mean, he was on the thing. You know, he said, you know, I'm not sure about the exact distance and stuff, you know, whatever it was. Like, when we stepped it off, it was, he said at first, Rocky, that first one, he said it was about 150 yards. And when we walked it off, it was about 200. But still, it's open ground there. I mean, you got a good, you know, you get a good look. That second look was right at 100 yards. A man could see something pretty good at 100 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. And he was
back. Yeah, you guys are going back?
Yeah, we're going back.
Yeah, he told us anytime we wanted to that, I mean, his dad owns a bunch of land out there. That's why he's living there. But he said that we could come up there and set up blinds or just whatever we wanted to do. And I told him that, you know, I asked him how far he would allow us to go as far as, you know, if we saw it. I told him, said, you know, if we see it, we are going to be armed. And anyhow, he said, do you mean shoot it? And I said, yeah. He said, If you do, he said, drag it out to the east. And there's a trail down there. He said, when you get to that trail, said that'll take you back south, and that'll take you out to the high, pretty close to the highway. He said, don't bring it to where my wife can see it.
Yeah, he's kind of worried about his wife. Well, he's probably worried about his wife because he's worried about having to move.
Yeah, he doesn't want to move.
Yeah. He said that when we saw what, like the Swede said, what could have been footprints, the cows had just, I mean, they'd stomped it up and all that. And I asked him if there was any bears out there. He said that in the last whole bunch of years, they had never seen a bear. Anyhow, the one spot there was, he said, the Swede said it looked like a toe. It looked like a big toe, but it was right in the edge of some, where cows had walked through. And, you know, it wasn't something that you could say, oh, you know, there's dermal ridges. It looked like it could have been a toe.
Yeah.
There was no claw mark, so that left the bear out.
Yeah, left the bear out. But it's just melty. You know, everything's muddy, and it's thawed. It's been frozen, Bill, so hard, and everything's just melted down. You know, after it thaws, it just melts. You can't really get any detail. It's going to have to be some fresher stuff before we can do any good.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Well, you're going to go back and you're going to take a look?
We are.
Should we open it up for everybody? There's a lot of questions going to go on here. The two things is both Christian and Austin and Mitchell.
On the bacon. Rocky, you can tell them about that, Rocky.
Do what?
Tell them
here's who we got on the line right now. We got Anthony from Virginia, Richard from New York, Austin and Mitchell from Maryland, Christian from Pennsylvania, Rocky and Swede from Arkansas, and Steve, you're on, right?
Yeah, I am now. I was too busy screwing around. Sorry about that.
So there we are. Rocky, why don't you, both Austin and Mitchell and Christian. Okay, Austin and Mitchell, you were kind of wondering about some. Why don't you ask Rocky some questions about what you want to do?
About how to bait them in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering what's the best way to bait them in?
Well,
you
can, if you'll take apples and sweet potatoes and put them in the oven and bake them for a while. Take them out and mash them up, mix them together. Okay. Marco said, you know, add a little bit of blackstrap molasses. That's not really necessary, but that's what I do because a lot of times when we get out there, we have to make a lot more than we normally would because I like the taste of it.
It is
more honey.
Well, with the blackstrap molasses, I tend to eat a bunch of it on the way out. Without the blackstrap molasses, you know, I'm not so tempted to eat it. But,
put it in the sack. Tell them the sack trick, Rocky.
Yeah, we'll cut up a piece of burlap and just make pouches and smear the stuff in it. And we learned that if you get a long piece of thin wire to hang with, that keeps coons and squirrels and stuff like that from getting hold of it. But, I mean, we found where they've hit the ground trying. But anyhow, we tie it to where it's at least 8 feet off the ground. And there's not, I mean, in Arkansas, the bears ain't going to get it, not at that height. But anyhow, it's...
And out away from the tree trunk.
When you put it in the burlap, after a little while, you know, it'll dry out and it'll lose its smell. And all you got to do is just squirt some water on it. And, you know, then it's good for a while longer. But
yeah, just a little spray bottle like your Windex bottle or something. It's got a stream, and you just walk right up there to it or walk up there to it and spray it. But hang out away from the tree a little ways where the coons and the bears can't reach out from the trunk and grab it. Put it
down, keep it about
5 feet out away from the tree on a limb where, and let it hang down.
Yeah, keep it about 5 or 6 feet away from the trunk of the tree. But
works real good.
Yeah, it works good. Of course, it brings in a lot of stuff. I mean, we've killed hogs right out from under the bait. But the other thing is, just like Marco was talking about, we have frozen like a gallon of apple juice. And when we get out there, we'll hang it in a tree and punch a hole in the bottom of it. And as it thaws, it'll drip. And we started doing that to bring the hogs in. But we found that it works for a lot of other stuff. I mean, we've had bears. We've had things that was tall enough that they reached up there and just broke the paracord. And took it with them. I mean, it's a good recipe for bringing in any kind of omnivorous. I mean, what am I trying to say, Marco?
You're right, omnivorous.
Anything with a sniffer.
Right, anything with a sniffer that's anything that'll eat the stuff that me and Sweetly it's going to come to it.
Now, wait a minute. Richard's going to have something to say about that.
I don't even think a Bigfoot will eat raccoon.
Well, he just hadn't had a chance to get what we fixed yet, Richard. That's the problem.
Hey, you know what they used to say a long time ago? If Bigfoot's name was Mikey, give it to Mikey. He likes everything.
That's right.
That's true. Christian, did you hear all that? Christian?
Yeah.
Did you have any questions, Christian?
No.
Okay. Austin and Mitchell, did you have any more questions like that? Did that help a little bit?
Did I have any questions?
Yeah.
No, I don't got anything.
So I just meant, did that answer your question on some of the stuff that you're trying to do?
Oh, yeah, that actually does.
Okay, here's something that you might want to try. Get you some burlap and hang the burlap over your game camera, and it blends a lot better with the surroundings. And if they can see the infrared, that ain't going to help. But if not, you know, then they're not going to spot it hanging in the tree.
Yeah, it kind of breaks up that form of that camera a little bit better.
Yeah.
Rocky and Swede, did he have a gun?
He said that he wasn't allowed to own a firearm.
Were you talking about the guy we were just talking about?
Yeah.
No.
What kind of gun?
No, he's not. He said that he's not allowed to own a firearm.
Oh, that's right. He said his wife is allowed to own a firearm, but he's not because of early discretions.
Oh, okay. Because
he said that his youth was misspent.
Yeah, that's what he said, not discretion.
Yeah.
He said his youth was misspent. He said his wife could have a gun.
Marco Bill.
Yes.
I think I see the creature now.
What?
Really?
Have you got your window or what?
No, I'm looking outside through the door, and I just seen this big creature on two legs run
into the woods.
Wow.
Oh, live report.
Hey.
There's more light than the eye shine.
That's pretty neat, Christian.
Huh?
Any noise?
Is the moon out right now?
I saw it. I don't see no more. I'm going to see if I can find my big flashlight and see if I can. If I can.
That'll probably scare him more.
You got a lot more guts than I do.
I tell you what, if I was there right now, I would get some sort of leftover food or whatever I would have, like vegetables or something. I'd take it out there and I'd put it down like a gift, and you'd be surprised what they'll leave you early in the morning.
That's true.
But then I would go back in the house really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like you, Rocky.
Christian, do they ever knock on the windows or the walls or anything?
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear that. I never heard that, but when that, well, when some, I first had when you're.
When Christian just heard the creature, dude.
Was talking, when they were talking, I heard like a growl, like,
yeah, I've heard that too.
And they stomp on the ground. Kind of a stomping on the ground, right?
That would be a good thing to go through and throw some stuff out there that might convince it to come back and but then like I say, just as soon as you get the bait out, go back in the house. If you want to see it, look out the window. That's a lot safer.
Yeah, and also, Christian, make sure you know, check with your mom and dad here too, to let them know what's going on, so you don't want to get in trouble.
Get ruined by a squad.
Guys, twice in all the time I've been out there, I've heard trees being pushed down. I've heard actually three times. Just out of nowhere, you'll hear a tree going down. You know.
I'm listening outside right now to see if I hear anything.
Well,
get your recorder out to record some audio. Even if you don't see anything, see if you can record some audio.
The main thing is just be safe while you're doing it.
Sure. Yeah.
If I have a bow, but I lost my arrows shooting up in the air.
Boy, you wouldn't want to do anything like that. You might make them mad. You don't want to make them mad, do you?
No.
No, don't. You don't want to do something like that because it can. I mean, they're usually pretty friendly, or you know, they don't hurt people. But I think they very well could if you try to attack them or harm them or something like that. They might, you never can tell.
Yeah, I would myself put a piece of food or apple or something out there. Just let them know that you're a good person, not a bad. They if you leave something like that out there, they give a good feeling about you.
Mm-hmm. And he's been having a lot of stuff over some time here, so
I
would be pretty curious, especially when the little one was looking around there. You know, that'd be a good idea to maybe set out.
I'm just standing outside too, so I can see running back.
There is a moment right
now. Christian, what you can do is you don't want to do it now, but in the morning, go out there and take a look to see if I'm not sure how the ground is right now, but see if you can find some footprints or something there. You want to go out there in the morning though, before it thaws. You know, at night I'm sure it freezes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just go out there and go out in the morning before it starts thawing out. See if there's anything that it might have left behind.
I think I'm hearing like tree branches hitting, like going down, but I don't know because there's this pumping station up by my house, but above my house, and that could be it. Dude, would their eyes glow in the dark?
Yeah.
Well, they can, yes.
Because
they're kind of usually kind of an orangish red.
I just saw something stare at me.
All right, be safe.
I'm going back in the house before something.
Yeah, yeah, go back in the house. Don't make, go put yourself on harm's way anyway.
No. That's some freaky shit right there, man.
Is that
very, they're very deep.
You know, we've had several people while we're on the air have encounters. One lady was sitting in her back porch to get good reception, and her and her daughter, and the creatures came right up to her pig trough and was taking slop out of the pig trough and eating it, and she was there, and she was almost speechless. She couldn't, she was actually shaken, and that was right where we're on the interview. So it's happened
well,
before.
You know, you said they were asking earlier about the phone calls that you get.
Yeah.
I went with Tom and Bill Coffey to Florida some time back, and while we was on the road, Tom handed me the phone and told me that I could answer the hotline. And let me tell you, There was lots of calls that came in. Some of them were on the up and up. Some of them were just, you know,
kids playing pranks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marco.
What about the one where you're driving down the road and say Tom gets a phone call and you know it's a nut on the other line because Tom hands you the phone and you're talking to this person and all of a sudden. You know right then and there Tom gave you so you can deal with it.
Yeah, he said that he couldn't understand anything he was saying because the guy was from Alabama and drunk, and I told him that I could speak Southern and drunk both. And so, anyhow, Tom said, I can't understand a word he's saying, so anyhow, I understood what he was saying, but, you know, he was a little bit out there. And Tom finally, once Tom figured out what was going on, Tom got on there, told him some things that I'm probably, well, I'm not going to repeat any of it, but anyhow, there comes a time that you have to read from the book. So
Tom read the book. You don't have to tell me that one.
So, Christian, are you back in the house now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, everybody, I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight and sharing your experiences with everybody. And
no problem, Marco.
And to all our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. Had a little bit of problem in the beginning of the show. I hope you caught the show. We'll see everybody next week. Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting, and we'll see everybody next week. Good night now.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Marco. Good night, Rocky. Good night, Swede.
Good
night, Tom Biscardi.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about him.
Yeah, can't forget about Tom.
Yeah, old lady says, good night, Fresh. Oh.
Good night, Marco.
Good night now.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mysteries, legends.